My name is Brian Tome. I'm what's called a senior pastor around here. Great to be back. I've been away for a bit. It's a summer tradition you all generously afford and the board affords us to get me out of the pocket for like 6 weeks or so on a summer to have different experiences, cleanse my mind, get rejuvenated for another fresh year. And man, I'm just more in love with this church than ever and really thankful for just you guys giving us the grace to do that, whether you're a part of Oakley Crossroads, Florence Crossroads, Mason Crossroads, West Side. So awesome. It's great to be back with you. So why don't I pray for us before we go any further, all right? God, thank you that you've given me just a blessing to be a part of these people, most of whom I don't know by name, many of whom I don't even know to see, yet I just feel a kinship with them and a gratitude for you placing me in this community. And so as we think about what you've done in our lives, what you might yet do in our lives, help us today to see wonders. Help us to understand them, how to bring them into being more frequently than we might have thought possible, and to help us to connect with you in a profound way. And I pray these things according to your name. Amen. You know, it's interesting talking about wonders, miracles, things that supersede the supernatural. I haven't gotten a single email or heard from anybody that says, hey, this is not, you know, how can this possibly be? These things that are sort of outside human explanation. I mean, I haven't heard any of that. I'm sure it's out there, but I haven't heard any of that at all. And that's not because we have a church full of everybody who believes the same thing and everybody who believes that the wonders that are in the Bible can happen again. It's because society changed. It has changed. It's one of the positive ways that society changed. Back when I was, you know, first came to know Christ, and I was 15, 16 years old, 32 some years ago, and for the first, I don't know, decade or so of that, couple decades of that, it was very clear that if you were going to follow Jesus and believe the Bible, you were going to be weird as it related to things in the Bible about the miraculous or wonders, because everybody knows those things weren't real. Everyone knows those things were allegory, right? Everyone knows those things can't happen today. And so it's the primary way that atheists or agnostics would sort of poke fun at these miracles in the Bible. It's the way that Thomas Jefferson sort of carved out his own little spiritual niche. If you're not familiar, he had his Bible, his New Testament, and he cut out all the parts he thought could not have happened. Of course, it was all the miracles in the Bible. And so there was a time when the only people who would believe in wonders, the miraculous, or the idea that the natural laws are from time to time superseded were people like you or I who actually believed the Bible. Well, no longer now. I mean, you can be an atheist and agnostic and believe very strongly in the miracles and the supernatural or the supernatural. Why? It's called quarks. It's called string theory. It's called quantum mechanics. And I hate to even give some little itty-bitty definition of it because it is nowhere going to come close to fulfilling what it really is. And I actually might make you think that I know what I'm talking about, and I really don't. But it's the idea that there's things that we know on a molecular level that are not predictable and where the laws as we know it are defied. Atoms like, boom, pop up over here when they shouldn't be. Things that is absolutely verifiable now that we know now. Everyone, if you don't think that miracles happen, or if you don't think that nature is superseded from time to time for some weird reason, you are in the absolute minority. You're just the absolute minority. So now that more and more of us are believing this is possible and this happens, how can it happen more often? And specifically in our own lives. How can it happen more and more in the ways in which I live my life and the spheres of influence I have? To look at this, we're going to look at the book of Acts. It's an interesting story because the very first time we see a wonder or a miracle happening through someone in the New Testament other than Jesus. When Jesus vacates the planet, this is the very first time that one of his followers instigates the wondrous acts of God or is a part of it. Very first time, which means you and I can do this as well. Here's what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 2-8. It says, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. In other words, to ask for money, begging for money. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Man, amazing story. So here we have, at the beginning, is a guy who is physically challenged, but apparently he's not mentally challenged. He's pretty smart, because he knows where to go to beg for money. Where does he want to go? He wants to go where the religious spiritual people are. Why? Because they tend to be more generous. I don't know if you've noticed or not, when I've gone to our different sites, Oakley, Mason, Florence, Westside, there's an increase in number of people who are holding cardboard signs. And part of me is like, oh, that's sad that someone's in a rough spot like that. Part of me also says, that's a smart person right there. Not so much outside of Westside, because Westside isn't as much of a sort of city environment. But why is it? It's because they're realizing, I got a better shot of getting me some jack with someone who's encountering God, because people who encounter God, for whatever reason, tend to be more generous. You don't see many people standing outside of the Cincinnati Bell building downtown, or outside of wherever, but we have more and more people standing around here, and part of that is positive, and that's what this guy's doing. He's looking for a wonder, but his wonder is pretty small. His wonder is just, I want some money. That's what I want. And there's a process to experiencing God's wonders. And it's not necessarily linear, but the more you do these four things, the more you're going to see wonders in your own life. The first is this. In order to perceive a wonder, you have to pre-see it. What do I mean by pre-see? Pre-see is not the same as perceive. Perceive means it's already happening and, oh, I noticed it, perceived. I'm making up a word, my first one of this talk so far. Pre-see means I am seeing it in my mind, in my imagination, before you can see it with your own eyes. I'm pre-seeing it. I'm seeing it ahead of time. This is known as the word belief. That's what to believe is, right? I believe it even though I don't see it. If I see it, then I know it. I believe it because I see it in my mind, even though it's not there right now, or if it is right there, I can't see it with my own eyes. And this crippled man pre-sees that if he stays outside the temple, someone's going to come and going to give him money. What's crazy is I have to give a talk inside of a church to convince us that God can do wonders, because if we're really honest, most of us believe that, no, he can't and he won't inside of my life. I can give out a test to people in churches all over the country and unfortunately even at Crossroads, asking questions, true, false, and you would say the right thing about can God do the powerful, and you'd say yes. But really, the way the average person in church operates is as a functional atheist. Functionally, you may as well be an atheist, because you don't believe that anything can happen outside of what an atheist believes. To really start to see an increase in the wonders of God, you have to pre-see it. You got to, in your mind, go, I see it. I see it there. And what's crazy is there's people who know the Bible but don't know all the Bible, who actually believe that there's certain things that just don't happen anymore, that God stopped doing it. Whenever I study a passage to get ready for the weekend, I want to make sure I get as many ideas as I can. And so I read up on what other people have said about various passages. And one set of books that we pastors use are known as commentaries. It comments on the various devices in a scriptural passage, gives you a deeper dive on the original language and a bunch of other stuff. My favorite ones that are most helpful for me will still have these things where you go, what? What? Because where's this guy come from? So here's one of the things I read about this passage from this commentary this last week. It says, and are we able to prophesy and perform exorcisms and miracles by using the name Jesus? Although the apostles received miraculous powers, the New Testament indicates that Jesus gives us no commands to cast out demons, to heal sick, and raise the dead in his name. Interesting, really. My Bible in John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, Jesus says this to all of his followers. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me, whoever, even if you're in America in the 21st century, whoever believes in me also will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Because I'm going to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We'll get back to my name in a little bit. Absolutely. If you don't believe that God can use you to do an amazing thing, not that you do it, not that you do it, but that God can actually use you to do something, there's a whole slice of experience in God. There's a whole slice of the Bible you are utterly clueless on. There's a whole sense of power that is crazy. Now, part of the reason why I don't talk about this all that much is because the people who tend to talk about this a lot tend to have cameras in front of their faces, wearing white belts, and asking people for money on television. You know? But don't be deluded. If you want to track with God, there's an element of pre-seeing and believing for things that are outside the norm that you have to embrace, or else just come out and declare yourself as an atheist. If we don't believe that, we all may as well just be atheists. And from time to time, every once in a while, I will pre-see something, and it will come to pass, and I'll go, oh, wow, yes, there is a God. There is an amazing and powerful God. I have a couple examples, two of the bigger ones, prayers that I pre-saw when I would pray, is I did a while ago an infant dedication, and as I was dedicating, they said, the parents said, yes, and we're doing this because we were infertile, but you laid hands on my wife and you prayed, and 9 months later, we had a child. Now, it may not have been my prayer. It could have been somebody else's, and that was just the final one. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, when I pray a prayer like that, here's what I do. I pre-see a uterine wall, and I see sperm attaching to it. That's what I do. I pre-see it. Now, when I say pre-see it, I'm not talking I get some vision from God where something miraculously happens in my brain and God directly speaks to me. No, I use my mind to pre-seek what I believe that God can do. Another time, a woman, I prayed for her, and she went out in the atrium at Oakley, and she was able to see the screens, read them the very first time. When I pray, I don't even remember. I heard about that story. I don't remember praying for her. I have no idea. And when I do something like that, though, what I do is I pre-see a retina that's being reattached. I pre-see cornea growing. I use my imagination. I'm using that to connect with God, and I'm doing that to sort of train myself that I believe, God, that you can have this happen, and I'm praying for this. Do you believe that wonders can happen, or are you seeing it? Do you choose to see it? Now, the beautiful thing is there's some of these verses we talked about in this series. The guy who says, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And we're not talking about, I'm 100% certain this is going to happen. No, we're not talking about that. We see examples of a guy who's commended for his faith because he says, I believe, and oh no, help my belief. He's got doubts. You can pre-see and have doubts. Jesus affirms us if we have faith like a mustard seed. Not faith like a grapefruit, a mustard seed. Not faith like a mustard plant, a little bitty mustard seed. So pre-seeing means you just have to have enough faith to conjure up the belief and the vision in your mind of the wonder that you believe and you're asking that God to do. Do you believe that God can do wonders in you and through you? I'm trying to get you to see that today. And if you can't see it today, boy, that's a rough way to go through life, to be alone, so very alone. Only left to your power. Only left to your machinations. We pre-see it, and we pre-see it, the most critical thing that happens in that process is we pray. We pray. You want to see wonders, you have to pray. God can do wonders about things that you haven't prayed for. God can do wonders for things through things other people have prayed for. One of the great mysteries, some people say, well, it's a mystery of unanswered prayer. There is no such thing as mystery of unanswered prayer. Sometimes God answers with yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Every prayer is answered. It's always said one of those three things. But the bigger mystery for me is, why is it that some things will not happen unless they're prayed for? The Bible makes that very clear. There's some things that will not happen unless they're prayed for. The Bible also makes it very clear, and history shows, that there are some wonders that will happen even if they're not prayed for. It's a mystery to me, like, why do some wonders happen without prayer? Others, wonders only happen with prayer. Wayne Gretzky, the number one goal scorer in NHL history, he's not the greatest hockey player in history. All of us Pittsburghers, former Pittsburghers, know it's Mario Lemieux. He's the greatest hockey player that's ever lived. We know that. But Wayne Gretzky wasn't that bad. And Wayne Gretzky, who had more goals than anybody else, also had more misses than anybody else. Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. 100% of the shots you don't take. And I can tell you this right now, the same way in the spiritual realm, in terms of answers to prayer, you miss 100% of the prayers you don't pray. You miss 100%, you lose 100% of the answers that you don't get of yes because you don't pray, 100%. So if you don't want any wonders, don't take a shot. Don't pray about it. We have to pray in order to see something go beyond where we are. One of the more impactful books I've been reading this last summer is called Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. It's fantastic. It's about drawing circles around things where you want to see God do something great in. And Mark says this in one of the pages of the book, early pages. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. Why? Because they don't require divine intervention. Prayers are prophecies. They're the best predictors of your spiritual future. So if we're not praying, our spiritual future means we're going to be someone who's not connected with God. Our spiritual future is only going to be limited, is going to be limited exclusively to our human power, and that's just not good enough. James 4, verse 2 to 3 in the New Testament says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. So there's two reasons why wonders aren't happening to us. One is we're not asking. This is very, very clear. This is not me making this up. There are wonders that could happen in your life that definitely are not going to happen because you're not asking. That's a guarantee from God. Dude, we should be encouraged right now. Seriously. You should all be going, this is awesome. Are you kidding me? Wow. There could be amazing things. And I just never, oh my goodness. Not guaranteed, but for sure. And then here's the other problem. And many of us are praying, but our motives are the wrong way. Our motives are just whack. They're not where they should be. We're pre-seeing, we're praying, but there's also a need to prioritize. To see wonders, true godly wonders, pre-see, pray, and prioritize. To prioritize means that I take a look at the things that I'm seeing and I ask myself, why am I seeing certain things? Why am I only seeing pots of gold and I'm not seeing people who are in poverty, my heart being broken for them, and them coming to wholeness. Am I prioritizing my own personal advancement, or am I prioritizing the advancement that God wants to do in every area of my life, in every sector in which I reside? Prioritize. Now, the man who is healed, who is asking, who is pre-seeing and asking for financial assistance, the apostles respond to him basically saying, you're not prioritizing in the right way. Let's take a look at it in verse 6. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting it. Got a level of faith here. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter says, I don't have what you are asking for, but I've got something you should be prioritizing. I've got something even better. I've got the possibility for you to be physically healed. I know silver and gold, but I've got some other stuff. You know, there's another ancient, how would I describe him? Just an ancient sage who talked about silver and gold. His name was Cornelius Yukon Jack. Cornelius. Now, how many of us are over 40? Remember old Cornelius Yukon Jack? How many of us? Yes. Everybody else who's younger here is going, was that a prequel to Frozen? Remember that great part? It's all standing together. Silver and gold, silver and gold. Yes, silver and gold. It's great. This is part of why We don't have more prayers said yes to by God. We don't see more wonders happening. It's because we're only seeking silver and gold. Our priorities are, God, give me more of what I want. Give me more riches. Give me more fame. Give me more comfort. Give me more ease. Give me a better body. Give me a six-pack. Give me a larger cup size. Give me a better... Just bring me all of this stuff for me. Is that bad? Well, is that six-pack? The same thing? I don't know, whatever. Look, you bring all of this... Okay, maybe the first inappropriate thing since I've been back. Let's keep going. Bring me all of these things back into me. Part of the reason why our prayers, part of the reason many of us don't have any prayer life at all is because we don't have prayers, enough prayers where there's yeses that are being said to them. I don't have yeses in all my prayers. Actually, I don't know, maybe even a minority of my prayers are yeses. But the reason why we're not having more yeses is because we're not prioritizing right. We're like doing silver and gold. We're going, Zuri, woo, give me a six-pack. Woo-hoo! Nothing. Oh, God, give me a third lake house. Woo! Nothing. Oh, God, let me drop 75 pounds without ever working out. Woo! Nothing. You know, we keep throwing these, like, in our prayers, we're not praying for other people. We're not praying for a move of God to bless other people, for the world to come the way God wants it. They tend to be all about me and our own pleasures, as that James verse says. And therefore, we get nothing. Nothing. And we don't see wonders. And we think that God isn't moving. Well, he's not moving in the areas that we would want him to move in, because we want to be the center of the whole universe. But he is moving. And he will move more if you move into his priorities. When it says there, when Jesus says, "You pray in my name," he's not saying tack "in the name of Jesus" at the end of prayers. That's why I don't pray all my prayers that way. He's not saying tack that in the end. He's saying pray according to my reputation. Pray according to my priorities. Have those be the wonders that you're going after. One of my prayers that I've been amping up recently is for my kids and their spouses, praying that they would get married and praying for their spouse. I've always done that to some degree. I'm doing it more so right now. My kids are part of this because they're getting of the marrying age or closer, 23, 21, and 16. And as I do that, I'm pre-seeing things. What am I pre-seeing? I'm not pre-seeing my kids getting married because I don't want them to be lonely for the rest of their life. Because guess what? There's a lot of people married who are very lonely. And there's a lot of people who are not married who are very relationally fulfilled. I don't have any priority of having to fund expensive weddings. I have zero priority for that, actually. I have no priority for that. I have no priority to, I probably will need to, but I have no priority for that. I have no priority to have some beautiful, like, whitey Christmas letter with, like, you know, a bunch of white people with red sweaters on and large fans. Say, look how good my family is. I might have that. That'd be fine, but I don't have any priority. Why is that? What am I pre-seeing? I'll tell you why I'm praying this, what I'm pre-seeing. I'm pre-seeing the possibility to be able to build into people and disciple them for 40, 50 years until I die. I'm seeing the possibility, if God gives me grandsons, to be able to disciple another few boys into men. I'm pre-seeing the ability, if I have granddaughters, to participate in them and be godly women. It's not my sole responsibility. It's their parents more so than mine. But I'm seeing that. That's my priority. And so, therefore, I'm praying that way. Are you able to tie into why you're praying the things you're praying and what it says about your priorities? Because it can get really easy for our priorities to get out of whack. The early church didn't take long for the priorities to get out of whack. As time went on, they started having success and started accumulating wealth, and you can be very successful and very wealthy and very close with God. It just gets harder the more money, the more stuff you have. History is very clear on that. And the early church started to take on the image of what the early Roman Empire looked like. When they got the ability to have buildings, they started constructing buildings that looked like Roman temples. When they started having clergy who were paid to be clergy, they started dressing the way paid emperors were. It's why the Pope still looks like the way he is right now. It's how emperors used to dress. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having things in the church that mirror things that are in the world. There's nothing wrong. People get upset about that. No, none of that. They just started doing some of those things, and we just trusted they knew what they were doing at the time, and it was working. But they also got into some real, real problems. One very well-known example was when Pope Innocent II was dealing with some financial issues. One of the leading theologians in the history of the church, Thomas Aquinas, came in, and Innocent II had a bunch of money on the table, money counters were counting or something like that, and he looked over at Thomas and just said, "Look, the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold I have none of.'" And Thomas Aquinas said, "Yes, and neither can the church say to the lame, 'Rise and walk,' and to the blind, 'Open your eyes and see.'" Because money, according to Thomas Aquinas, had begun to change the priorities of the church. Money still does that today to us. Fame still does that today. The number of Facebook friends today, the percent of body fat to us, the number of accolades on the wall, whatever it is. We just have to realize we're in a world that's trying to get us away from God, not get us to God. And the more the world that will come to us, the harder it will be to have our priorities be in line with who He is and to see the wonders that He wants to do in our life and in our spheres of influence. One of the greatest wonders, my opinion, the greatest wonder is, well, I don't want to spoil my line. Yeah, let me just set this up, something that happened in the book of Mark. When we see the wonders that Jesus was doing in Mark chapter 1 through Mark chapter 5, in that span of time, there's things like he heals a paralyzed guy. He heals a guy who has a withered hand, sticks his hand out, and it heals up. He has a woman who's been menstruating for 12 years who lunges and touches the edge of his cloak, and she's healed instantly. There's a Roman official who's got a daughter who is sick in bed, and she dies. He goes and raises her from the dead. He is in a boat, and there's awful storms and wind and waves, and he looks and stalks the wind and the waves and says, "Cease, be still," in a calm zone. I mean, it's crazy, crazy stuff. And then in Mark 6, he's in a place where he grew up, has had some influence on, and the spiritual elite are grilling him with questions, and they're impressed with his answers intellectually, but they think certainly this guy cannot be spiritually legit. They're giving him grief. It's where the line comes from where Jesus says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown." And here's what it says in Mark chapter 6. "And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." The first few times I read this, I'm going, wait, he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Sounds like a mighty work to me. Who would say laying your hands on a sick person, healing them is a mighty work? I would say it's a mighty work, right? But it's not the most mighty work. The most mighty work is when someone has their heart turned towards Jesus. The most mighty work is when someone receives Him and is forgiven, is redeemed, is restored. That's the most mighty work. It's the most important miracle on God's green earth. And part of why I don't just out and out talk about the wonders and the miracles more often than I do is because it seems that the people who are the most into talking about that stuff tend to have the least real life experience with seeing other people experience God. They tend to be oftentimes more into the flash and the coolness factor and trying to, sometimes broadcast that I'm a real spiritual person, God's doing something to me because look what I'm seeing and doing, than they are actually in step with the priority of Jesus' mission, which was to change people's hearts, to bring people to Him. It's the most important miracle that God's involved in. It still is the most fascinating one that He does in lives right here, right now. My friend Dave Munsinger, growing up, I came to know Christ. I was 15 or so, and 16, I came to know Christ, and he was my friend who was my main antagonist. You know, if you ever had this happen, he was the one who was always going, "Oh, I thought you were Christian now. Oh, does Christians do that? I saw you doing it. Oh, you'd say something like, 'Darn. Oh, you said darn, four-letter word. Oh, you know, he always doing that kind of stuff. And he's like, "Give me a break." You know, so what I had to start doing is I had to pre-see him coming into a relationship with his Creator. And I had to start praying for it, put his name on a mirror, start praying for it when I was brushing my teeth. prioritized our relationship, kept it going. Gosh, I'll tell you what, a miracle, one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen and ever known. The dude's right now a pastor doing great stuff in Texas because God got a hold of his life and took him someplace and is doing something to him that's amazing. That's always the most important miracle that God does. Always has been, always will be. Another time I was reminded of this was just last week. I was down in Nicaragua with an organization called Compassion International. Great, great organization. Some of us might sponsor, might be a part of that. I'm going to do my best in the next several months to talk more about this. So it's just a little precursor. Basically, Lim and I for 26 years have taken, I don't know, it's like $38, $36 a month and shot it to Compassion International. And there's a child who we've sponsored. We pay for all their food that we feed them. And we educate them, and it's there's amazing things that happen. I didn't even know until I actually went and saw it for myself. And as we were interacting there, I saw some miracles. Saw some miracles, or at least heard of miracles. One of them was this kid who was born without the top of his skull. And so without the top of his skull, he was falling down in convulsions from time to time, injuring his brain. The doctors said to his parents that he's just not going to be that smart. And I actually saw the doctor's report, took a look at it where the brain scans were and all that kind of stuff. I saw it. I couldn't read it because I can't read Spanish. I'll tell you, how many of us have said, I got to learn Spanish? How many of us have said that? Come on, Mason, Oakland. I can't tell myself, I got to learn Spanish. I've said so many times, just declaring it, I will learn Spanish. I'm going to work on it. I got to put a date on it, but I'm going to. I just was so frustrated and wanted to talk with people. I couldn't. So this report is there, and I'm interacting with him and his mom and his dad, and they had a healing thing where the church that his mom was a part of, people came around and put hands on his head and prayed, and instantaneously a skull cap formed under their hands. Instantaneously. And now he's a perfectly functioning kid who has great, great grades, he and his family. And I just got a great opportunity just interacting with them on that whole thing. Isn't that cool? Now, I wonder if you would clap just as loudly and as spontaneously or be as inwardly happy if I told you that as a result of these things that have been happening, his father, who's a security guard, just a couple months ago received Christ in his life, and he's getting baptized in a couple weeks. Of course you're clapping now because I just led the way. Oh, yes, oh, that's wonderful. But we might look at that and go, oh, that's good, that's nice. Oh, my gosh, but a head, oh, amazing. There is a God. Hey, there's a God whenever somebody turns from going after their own petty stuff to going after the stuff of God. That's a miracle. That does not happen outside of God. It's a miracle. Anytime someone says, I'm not going to be about my own life, I'm going to be about the life of Christ. That's a miracle because humanly that does not happen. It's a miracle whenever someone says, I'm going to have someone else dictate my life, and that person I'm never even going to see with my eyes until I get to heaven. That's a miracle. It's the greatest wonder on God's green earth. When I interact with those folks, my heart was just, exploding. Honestly, I was more joyful and more intrigued with that dad's story than I was the skull. Oh, yeah, skull, whatever. You, what's happened with you? It's the greatest thing that Jesus has done and still doing and the most important thing to God. And I was reminded of that when I heard the story of something else that happened that day where as these kids were gathering, there was another kid who was outside, who doesn't have a sponsor, he was outside, so he wasn't sort of in this whole community thing, and he was up sort of peering over the wall. And the head of Compassion International, a friend of mine, Jimmy Otto, he came himself out of poverty. His grandmother had a dirt floor, and he knows how to keep dirt floors clean, and it's really deep and personal to him. So he knows what it's like to be on the outside. So he actually said to us, hey, who's that kid? Go find that kid. The kid ran away because he didn't want anyone to find him. He thought he was going to be in trouble. But Jimmy was actually trying to get him to see if they could serve the family. Had to actually ask some staff members, figure out who that family is, and see if we can help that child. And when I heard that, I said, that's exactly what God does. We run away from him, but he runs after us, trying to figure out how he can get us to be folded into his plan, into his purposes. And when that happens, you can't help but talk about it. You just proclaim it. That's the fourth thing that happens when wonders happen. You proclaim. You appropriately let people know. Acts 3:9-10, the story concludes this way. And all the people saw him walking. The paralyzed guy's walking because he didn't get silver and gold, but he got physical healing. He got the priorities of God and got a relationship with God, praising God. and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So he didn't get the silver and gold. He got something even better, physical healing, and he got something even better than that. He was walking and praising his God. He was in relationship with him, joined at the shoulder. He proclaimed it. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to start screaming on street corners. Please don't. Do not do that. This doesn't mean that you're supposed to all of a sudden start putting cheesy Christianese in the bottom of every email. Please don't do that either. It doesn't mean that you're the obnoxious dude in the office. It just means you can't help appropriately share and respond and let people know what God's done in your life. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. You know, the Bible's wonders are really unique in the New Testament because the wonders are all about bringing people to God or bringing a broken world back to God. It's like when we're blind, it's because the world is broken. God doesn't make anybody blind. We're in a broken, sin-laden world where blindness happens. And so when Jesus heals somebody, he's not just making their life better, he's coming against the evil that's in the world. Not that blind people are evil. I'm not saying that. We all have things that are broken with us physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, whatever, because of the pervasiveness of sin. And the miracles are all about turning that back and turning that away. If you look in many other spiritualities, the miracles are cool things like levitating. You know, the disciples weren't going around levitating on a magic carpet without the rug. They weren't going around trying to skywrite, show, look how powerful we are. They were all about blessing people, helping others to see the wonders of God to hopefully bring them into a restored relationship with God. I just wonder how many of us in here right now are, I don't know, maybe God's knocking right now. I think there's two types of people in here right now. Some of us, perhaps you're going, I'm feeling a little crack forming. This image of God is not one that I've understood before, and there's something about this is different. It could be that God right now is starting to do a wonder in you, and he's starting to knock on your heart, and it could be because people have been praying for you as well. And maybe that wonder needs to go to a new level because maybe you need to just receive him today. You need to receive him, commit your life to him. And there's another kind of person here today who just has had things that are not right, and you've just given up asking God, and you just don't think God cares, and that he's not going to do anything, and you need to reclaim the wonder of expectation. You need to reclaim the wonder of possibility that there is a God who does things that are outside of our understanding, and he does many, many of those only because we pray, and perhaps pray persistently. I want to encourage you to enter back into the world of pre-seeing, praying, and prioritizing so you can give him praise. So I'm going to invite the band to come up to all of our different sites, and we're going to sing a song that we did earlier. Before we do that, let's pray along those two veins that I just talked about. First of all, God, I pray for those who just sense you right now. You sense you knocking. God, help them to receive. And for those of us who want to receive and want to commit ourselves to him, want to complete that wonder, if you will, just say something to God under your breath. He hears it. He understands the inclinations of your heart. Something like, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want to receive Jesus into my life. I want the Holy Spirit, to fill my heart. I want to commit my life to you and serve you best I can. Thank you for being who you are. And as that wonder is taking place right now, I want to encourage others of us or all of us to pre-see things right now. Like I right now choose to pre-see a married couple that's at odds with one another, not touching one another, fighting with one another. I pre-see them embracing and talking for the first time about things that have not been talked about. I see that. I see a child. A child who's living afraid of when the next meal is going to happen. Will there be food tomorrow? And praying, God, make a way, make a way. Choose to pre-see rooms that are empty. Maybe it's a business room, maybe it's a classroom, no one's signing up, and people have responsibility for that business or for that endeavor, and people filling into it, coming to it. What is the thing that you need to pre-see and you need to ask God for? Just link it to the priorities of his purposes and get ready to praise him for it. God, thanks for giving me the opportunity to be with great people today. Amen.